I'm here today, and welcome to another special edition of Garage Baptist. Amen. I had this thought here on my mind for the last week or so, and just want to go ahead and get this out there on this wonderful Friday. Amen. So let's have a quick word of prayer, though, before we get into it. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day, and we're certainly looking forward to what you've got here for us. Help us, Father, please, to be obedient to you, to follow your holy will. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. The thought we're going to take here out of the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, that I want to share with you. The first six verses, very, very familiar passage of Scripture here. And it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, to be honest, this thought that has been going through my mind here of late has actually been on the whole business of advertising. And if I were to title this, I would title it Satan's Advertising. Advertising is something that we are certainly surrounded with, seemingly no matter where we go. Amen. You drive up and down the expressway, there are billboards all over the place. I love to look at the billboards. I want to see what's going on, you know, what businesses are around and such. And unfortunately, there are things that do pop up on those billboards that we don't be needing, okay? We'll be driving down the street on our way to work or wherever. There'll be marquees hanging off of buildings telling you what movies are playing, what the special is at the restaurant, and hot dog stand and all that good stuff there. Certainly, we see signs for places for us to stop and eat. The sign telling us what this particular gas station is, and come on in there. Even our rewards points, if you go to the gas station, the grocery store, or whatever, it is advertisement, simply in a slightly different way, because what it's trying to do is get you to understand, this is the place to shop. This is the place to get your groceries. This is the place to get your gas. This is the place to get your clothes at. This is the bank you need to be banking with, because they're going to give you the best deal. It's all forms of advertising. Okay, we are surrounded by it. There's even a podcast that I personally love to listen to called Under the Influence. It has nothing to do with alcohol or drugs or anything like that, but it is about how advertising affects our daily lives. And I do encourage you to check that out if you've got any sort of interest in it. But I digress. The whole fact of the matter is, we are inundated with advertising, from commercials on television, on radio, going onto the internet and checking out different things. We'll have pop-up ads, advertisement, so on and so forth. It's all around us. And it's here in the Bible, too. Now, granted, they say that the oldest profession in the world is prostitution. I would say that as far as mankind goes, okay, yeah, probably. As far as Satan goes, though, no. As we just read here in Genesis chapter number 3, Satan is making a sales pitch. He is being a salesman to this woman here, trying to get her to partake of what it is that he's got. Of course, he's offering it as one thing, and it turns out it's another thing, but that's aside the point. Satan is selling her a bill of goods. He is selling her on this idea. And he intends to be successful. And as we all know, he was. There are a few things, I've got six listed here, things that are necessary for a successful advertising campaign. If you're going to go out and you're going to try to get this campaign up off the ground, you need to make sure you've got these six things there in order for it to hit the mark and bring in the business that you want. And I believe we see all six of these right here in Genesis chapter number 3. They are. We must make sure that the ad is lined up with where our business is headed. Okay? Number 2, make the ad as competitive as possible. Number 3, we must communicate a simple message. I wrote down here, use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay? Number 4, it must be credible. Number 5, must be truthful. And number 6, must maintain a likable style. In other words, the ad must be attractive. So let's look here real quickly at this. And I'm not intending on keeping you long. Amen. We'll treat you just like Elizabeth Taylor used to treat her husbands. Not going to keep you long. As far as make sure the ad is lined up with where your business is headed. Let's face facts here. Satan started off as Lucifer. That he stood guard, if you will, right there at the very throne of heaven before pride entered in, and he fell from heaven. He decided one day, I'm going to ascend. I'm going to be like the Most High. I am going to do this. I am going to do that. And pride got in there and knocked him down. So he has entered into sin. He took a third of the angelic host with him. We see that there in the book of the Revelation. So what is the business that Satan is got going on here? Well, he wants to destroy God's creation. His mind is so warped, his logic so flawed, that all he could see is he's got to hurt God in any way, shape, or form. Take God down a peg or two every chance he gets, and he does that by affecting God's creation. So he came down here to earth and decided he was going to mess with Adam and Eve. He was going to get them to enter into sin, enter into open rebellion against God. So what'd he do to make sure that his ad lined up with his business model? He got them to question their place in God's creation. And you go back through, you read this. Hath God said? There it is, hath God said. Well, yeah, God said, and I'm sure that Satan heard all about it. But now he's getting Eve to start to question things. Yea, hath God said? Well, yeah. And she proceeds a little further here with, yeah, God said, you know, we can eat of all the trees in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're not even allowed to touch it. God didn't say that. She added it. She got herself done messed up. But it got her to question her place in God's creation. Got her to thinking about, well, hey, why is it that I'm not allowed to have that? I can have all the rest of these. What's so good about this one that I'm not allowed to have it? And Satan goes with the next point of make the ad as competitive as possible. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's trying to get her to observe all these different trees and notice, there's this, and I like the shininess of this, and these really taste good. And over here, I've got this complete unknown. I can see what it looks like. I don't know if it was an apple or not. There are people who speculate that it was a fig because the fig tree is the only fruit actually mentioned there in Eden. I don't know. As far as I know, the watermelon could have actually grown on a tree at one time instead of the vine. And that was what she partook of. I don't know. I wasn't there. Neither were you. But whatever it is, she's looking at it. And she knows what all the rest of these taste like. She knows which ones she really likes, which ones are just, you know, they're just okay. And this one here, is it any good? And she begins to question it. And ain't that how it comes into our lives? I think about adultery there for a moment. Well, let's think about this. You're married. You've got a spouse. You love them. Next thing you know, you get a coworker and, pretty good. You go watch a movie. Looks pretty good. And it gets to, you get to thinking about it. You get to wondering, what would they look like without their clothes on? How good would they be in bed? So on and so forth. Asking all of these questions there. It's the same advertising campaign all over again, just simply repackaged. But that's how Satan works. He's trying to make everything of this world, everything of sin, as competitive with the things of God as possible, so he can derail as many as he can, send as many to hell as he can, and cripple as many Christians as he can, so that they're not winning any souls to the Lord. That's how he works. Thirdly, one of the rules of this good advertising must communicate a simple message. Again, back there in verse 1. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He asked one leading question. Now, why is it called a leading question? I'm so glad you asked. Because you know where you want to go with the question, so you phrase it in such a way so as that person has to logically follow your steps. Give their answer, but in a way that works with what you want. He asked her one question. Yea, hath God said? She responds, hey, we can eat of all the fruit of all the trees of the garden except the knowledge of good and evil, and we're not allowed to touch it. Well, now all of a sudden he's able to run with her statements. When he gets us to think about the things that trip us up. Man, I wonder if that new beer is any good. That microbrewery, is it any good? Well, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I shouldn't be messing with that stuff. But is it any good? When was the last time you had one of these non-alcoholic beers? Surely one wouldn't be bad. Oh man, I've been married to this wife of mine now for 20 years. Yeah, but wouldn't something younger? Maybe she knows something, how to do something that your wife don't know. Hey, getting you to think about it. Communicating a simple message of, hey, you're not happy in your marriage like you could be. Hey, you're more thirsty than you thought you were. One won't mess you up. And he's leading you to the way that he wants. And he keeps it rather simple when it comes down to it. We overcomplicate things. That's how we as humans are. We do. We overcomplicate things. Satan, he's keeping it simple. Because simple works. The fourth is that it must be credible. Now, who was there available to contradict the serpent in anything that he's going to ask or say? Well, number one, there's Adam. He's the one, actually, when you go back there to chapter number 2, that God tells that they are not to eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Doesn't tell it to Eve, he tells it to Adam. Whether Eve heard when God told it to Adam, we don't know. It's not 100% specific. I think it was actually Adam's responsibility to tell Eve, once God created her, don't eat of that tree. But one thing is for sure, during these 6 verses here, Adam doesn't say nothing. Not one word. He could. He could have chased the snake out of there. He could have ran to God. Hey, talking snake, what's the deal with this? No, Adam says nothing. So since her husband ain't saying nothing, the serpent's looking awful credible here. So, well, what about God? Why didn't God do something? Simply put, because God's a gentleman. While he's not willing that any should perish, he gives us free will of our own. To choose to love him. To choose to obey him. To choose to serve him. Or not. Or not. Or not. He created Adam and Eve. Put them there in the garden. Gave them their instructions. And he didn't just walk away. He stood back and says, I've given you everything, my children. Will you trust me or not? And because they're looking and saying, God's silent, the one who's talking right now seems kind of credible. The fact of the matter is, God had already gave the instructions. He had the most credibility because he is completely credible. He is the truth. Satan's sitting here, making God look bad. He still does it today, church. Oh, God says you got to go to church every time those doors are open. God says you've got to do this. God says you've got to do that. How about some you time? And we allow him to become credible because in our minds we're sitting here playing Satan's words off of God's commandments. It's Satan playing our desires off of God's commandments. And guess what? My desires are going to be my desires every single time. If I don't line up with God. I'm supposed to bring my body under submission. I'm supposed to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm supposed to be following the Lord Jesus Christ instead of trying to do things my own way. Instead of trying to follow my own desires. Yeah, but the Bible says he will give you the desire of your heart. Yeah, that's right. Because the more I get into God's word, the more I desire God's word, the more my desires turn to where they line up with him. But when we start letting Satan be credible, we start getting into trouble. Fifth, must be truthful. There's an awful lot of advertising out there. You kind of wonder how much truthful they're being. You get to say the new medications that they start talking about there. And they will list off stuff really quickly. You're reading it there in the magazine and it's really small print. To get you to not pay attention to the side effects. The car dealership is telling you about this great deal they've got. And then they quickly run through the disclaimer. I mean, they run through it fast because of time. They've only got so much amount of time, but they do have to dedicate a certain portion of time in each commercial to this disclaimer. But they make sure it's so jammed in there they can run as fast as they can. They're being truthful, but it's a little sleight of hand to do it. Satan's doing it right here. He's being truthful. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's questioning, but it's the truth here. God said you can eat of every tree in the garden except for that one. So he says, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. True, they're not supposed to eat of every tree. All 99.9% except for that one. Then he comes down here and says, ye shall not surely die. There are two types of death that God had in mind when he spoke. When he said, in the day you eat of, you shall surely die. There's literal death and there's spiritual death. Man died spiritually that day. The physical death, yeah, Adam didn't die physically that day, but Peter does tell us that 1,000 years is as one day to God. even Methuselah at 969 years old didn't last a full day the way that God measures time. But there's truth here. They didn't actually physically die when they partook of that forbidden fruit. They found out they is naked, but they didn't die.
You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened.
That's the truth. They were open because all of a sudden they looked down, they're naked. You go back to verse number 25 of chapter 2. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed because they had no concept of good and evil. They had no concept of, oh, I'm naked, this is a bad thing. As soon as their eyes are open, what do? They go and they sew fig leaves together to cover themselves and they hide from God. So yeah, their eyes were open. Okay. Your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Yeah, but they weren't supposed to know good and evil this way. They weren't supposed to learn by experience. I believe God really wanted it to be just an academic thing. If you don't listen to me, that's bad. That's evil. If you listen to me, that's good. That's great. And unfortunately, they disobeyed God and ran into experience. And now we all have to wear clothes. Some of us, because we're really hideous naked, but the fact of the matter is, we're supposed to cover ourselves because of our shame. A little bit of truth mixed in there, with a little bit of poison. A little bit ain't gonna kill you. Yeah, it did, actually. But the last piece of advice here for a successful advertising campaign is it must maintain a likable style. In other words, the ad must be attractive. Verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it's good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's 2, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. 3. Now, let me just add this in here real quickly. Wisdom is knowledge plus experience equals wisdom. This is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, not the tree of wisdom. Eve completely misrepresented this tree. She said they weren't supposed to touch it. God didn't say that. She saw it as a tree that was good to make one wise. Wrong. It was knowledge, not wisdom. And then she partakes of it. You go and you go to look at the parties that they will show you. With all the drinking going on, the booze, the hard liquor and all that stuff. It's always beautiful people. Maybe they've got some very skimpy outfits on in the process. But they're always beautiful. You never see a fat, dumpy guy like me. Unless they're making fun of him in some way about the commercial there. You don't see the morgue the next day after somebody was drinking and driving. And the innocent person got killed. Because it doesn't always seem like the drunk in the drunk driving accident walks away without a scratch. It's the other person that gets killed. That goes to the hospital paralyzed. You don't see that stuff there in the commercials. You gotta keep it attractive. Show them having a good time. And Satan's a master of it. By the time he was done smooth talking Eve here, this thing was the bee's knees, the cat's meow. And he'll do that every time with the sin that each one of us has a taste for. Whether it's porn, booze, gambling, working, cheating on your wife, cheating on your taxes, whatever the case is, he always makes it look good. That's because that's Satan's advertising. And he's got an awful lot riding on it. He's got the whole world on the line. And he's working them. But church, let me tell you this here in closing. Satan may be a master salesman, But he's not going to win in the end. Satan may be powerful, a smooth operator, but if we'll turn to this book here, the Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, we can overcome that advertising. We can have victory. Do you want to have victory today? Or are you just waiting with bated breath for the next time Satan sends another one of his advertisements your way? It's up to you. I thank you for your attention. May the good Lord go with you through the week.